Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Ashley and I will bring you those stories, along with Brian Lynn and Alice Bryant. Later, Kelly Jean Kelly and Bruce Alpert will bring us this week's education report. But first, Kenya's National Police Force says it is investigating the killing of a top election official. Christopher Msando was found dead Monday, a little more than a week before the country holds general elections. The Inspector General of the National Police Service, Joseph Boynette, said in a statement that Msando's body had been discovered earlier but was identified Monday. Boynette said police are following important clues to the crime. The two-page statement does not explain the cause of death. Msando was manager of technology operations for Kenya's Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission, or the IEBC. He is said to have had knowledge of the technology being used for the August 8th elections. Wafalu Chebukati is the chairman of the IEBC. He said Monday, there is no doubt Msando was tortured and killed. However, he said it is unclear why he was killed. Chebukati asked the government to provide security for all IEBC workers so that Kenyans can have a free and fair election. The statement from Inspector General Boynette said police will work with the IEBC to provide all employees security so they can carry out their duties. In a statement Monday, U.S. Ambassador to Kenya, Robert Godek, said British High Commissioner to Kenya, Nick Haley, said their countries are gravely concerned by the murder. They said both countries have offered to help with the investigation. The diplomat said, "It is critical that Kenya has free, fair, credible, and peaceful elections on August 8th, and protection for IEBC staff is essential to achieving this goal." Fears of violence have increased as the election nears. Opposition parties have accused President Uhuru Kenyatta of seeking to cheat during the vote. At the same time, Kenyatta has said his main opponent, former Prime Minister Raila Odinga, is trying to divide the nation's ethnic groups. Odinga lost a disputed presidential election in 2007. More than 1,100 people died during violence that followed the vote. Baraza Yunkuri is a Kenyan law and elections expert. He told VOA's Swahili service that the killing may be an attempt to frighten the IEBC. He also warned that Msando's death could damage voters' confidence on the commission unless the IEBC leadership comes out strongly to reassure the people.
Two Venezuelan opposition leaders were taken from their homes by government security officers Tuesday morning. Critics of President Nicolas Maduro said the arrests are another sign Maduro is moving toward a dictatorship for Venezuela. The South American country is home to nearly 32 million people. The arrests of opposition leaders Leopoldo López and Antonio Ledezma came one day after the United States ordered sanctions against Maduro. The Trump administration said an election Sunday to create a new assembly to rewrite Venezuela's constitution took away the people's right to self-determination. The Maduro government said more than 8 million people voted Sunday to create an assembly to rewrite the Venezuelan constitution, but independent election experts said voter turnout was far lower. The election was called illegitimate by leaders across North and South America and in Europe. The families of Leopoldo López and Antonio Ledezma put videos on Twitter showing the men being taken from their homes. The two opposition leaders supported protests against Sunday's vote. Both had been arrested before, and both were under house arrest when they were taken from their homes early Tuesday. López's wife, Lilian Tintori, wrote on Twitter, 12:27 in the morning, the moment when the dictatorship kidnaps Leopoldo at my house. Venezuela's Supreme Court said López and Ledezma were arrested because they violated conditions of their house arrest. The court said official intelligence sources uncovered an escape plan for the two opposition leaders. Both are former mayors. The Supreme Court is seen as controlled by Maduro supporters. Maduro said Monday that he will not change his plans to rewrite the Constitution and to go after his enemies. He said increasing government power is needed to stop the protests that cause the country's economic problems.
Chinese President Xi Jinping says his country will do everything possible to keep its territory from being taken by outside forces. Xi's comments came during a speech Tuesday marking the 90th anniversary of the People's Liberation Army, or PLA. He spoke to government officials and military leaders inside the Great Hall of the People in Beijing. "We absolutely will not permit any person, any organization, any political party, at any time, in any form, to separate any piece of Chinese territory from China," Xi said. He added, "No one should expect us to swallow the bitter fruit of damage to our sovereignty, security, and development interests." Xi said the Chinese people are peaceful, and the country does not seek to invade or expand. However, we have the confidence to conquer all forms of invasion, he added. The Chinese leader did not name any conflicts or disputes during the speech. China is currently involved in several territorial disputes. These include conflicting claims to areas of the South China Sea. China has ignored competing claims to the sea by five of its neighbors. In some areas, China has created man-made islands and built military bases on them. This has led to other governments in the area setting up their own bases. In addition, China has a territorial dispute with Japan over islands in the East China Sea. China has threatened to use force to retake Taiwan if necessary. China considers self-governing Taiwan a part of its territory and wants to eventually reunite the island with the mainland. Also, China is currently in a dispute with India over a Chinese road-building project in the eastern Himalayas. The dispute is in an area claimed by both China and Bhutan, a close ally of India. Xi serves as commander of the PLA. In his speech, he said the military's highest loyalty is to the ruling Communist Party. The PLA has greatly increased its spending and modernization in recent years. China has sought to develop new high-technology fighter airplanes and navy ships, including aircraft carriers. Xi said China was now closer to the goal of the great rejuvenation of the Chinese nation than any other time in history. For this reason, he said now is the most important time to continue building a strong military. Xi's speech came after he oversaw a large military parade Sunday held at a military training base in China's Inner Mongolia region. I'm Brian Lin.
American actress Angelina Jolie was not happy that people criticized the casting process for her movie as taking money away from poor children. In an interview with Vanity Fair magazine last week, Jolie described a game that the casting directors played with the Cambodian children. The children were auditioning for the part of lead actor in the film, First They Killed My Father. Jolie told Vanity Fair she looked for lead actors in orphanages, circuses, and very poor schools. In the casting process, each child was placed in front of money on a table. They were asked to think of what they needed the money for and then quickly take the money. Jolie would then act like she was catching them, and the child would have to lie about why they stole the money. In a statement on Sunday, Jolie responded to the public criticism. She said this part of the audition was from a moment in the film, and she was upset about it being treated like it were real life. The suggestion that real money was taken from a child during an audition is false and upsetting, she said. She added that she would be angry if that had happened to a child in real life. For years, Angelina Jolie has been taking part in charity work internationally. She is also a special representative for the United Nations Refugee Agency. Users on social media called Jolie's casting game unkind and abusive to poor children. Vanity Fair reporter Evgenia Peretz said the casting game was troubling because of its connection to reality. Kayla Cobb is from the popular culture website Decider.com. She compared the game to a psychological thriller, a type of film that plays with the viewer's mind and fears. Cobb wrote that everyone should use better judgment and should not put real money in front of poor children in this way. She also wrote that no movie is worth psychologically harming so many children. First They Killed My Father is about the 1970s Khmer Rouge government under which more than 1 million people died. The film is scheduled for release around the world and on Netflix in September. Jolie said the young girl who won the lead acting part, Srai Mutt, was chosen after she became emotional when forced to give the money back. During the audition, the girl said she needed the money to pay for her grandfather's funeral. Riti Pan is a Cambodian producer on the film. In a statement, he said, "The children were not tricked or entrapped, as some have suggested. They understood very well that this was acting." I'm Alice Bryant.
This is What's Trending Today. In 2003, Chicago Cubs baseball fan Steve Bartman was watching his team play against the Florida Marlins in an important playoff game. He was sitting in the front row of the stadium, down the left field line. In the eighth inning of Game 6, the Cubs were leading with a score of 3-0. Luis Castillo of the Florida Marlins hit a ball high into the air. The ball went close to where Bartman was sitting in the stands. It was also near where Chicago's left fielder, Moises Alou, could try to catch the ball. As the ball came down, both Bartman and Alou reached for it. Other fans reached for it, too. The ball hit Bartman's hands. Alou could not catch it. Alou and many Cubs fans in the stadium got upset. The Marlins went on to win the game. They also won the next game against the Cubs to reach the World Series, where they defeated the New York Yankees. Many fans blamed Bartman for the Cubs' loss. Bartman has not been to a Cubs game since. Last year, the Cubs were once again playing for a chance to go to the World Series. They defeated the Los Angeles Dodgers. Then they defeated the Cleveland Indians in the World Series. It was the first championship for the Cubs in more than 100 years. The Cubs players and many people who work for the team received a ring to celebrate the championship. And this week, the Cubs gave a World Series ring to Bartman. The team said it hoped the gift would lift the public burden he has endured for more than a decade. And that's what's trending today. I'm Dan Friedel.
Fallout continues from angry protests in which students aim to stop conservative speeches at their colleges. Two colleges have announced punishments for students who tried to block such speeches. They also promised to invite more speakers with different opinions to speak at their schools. Some U.S. lawmakers took notice of speeches being stopped on college campuses. Senator Chuck Grassley is the Republican chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. He said that colleges need to do more to punish those involved.
Many students erroneously think that speech that they consider hateful is violent. Yet some students engage in acts of violence against speech, and universities have failed to prevent or adequately punish that violence.
At Claremont McKenna College in California, seven students were punished for an incident that took place in April. The school said the students were part of a group that blocked the entry of a room where Heather McDonald of the conservative Manhattan Institute was giving a speech. Three of the students will not be permitted to return to school for 1 year. The school said the blockade violated two of the school's important values, freedom of speech and assembly. McDonald wrote a book criticizing the Black Lives Matter movement and protests against police. The protesting students at Claremont McKenna said McDonald's opinions are racist and should not be protected. However, the school said in a statement that our community must protect the right to learn from others, especially those with whom we strongly disagree.
At Middlebury College in Vermont, students tried to block a speech by Charles Murray. He co-wrote a 1990s book about intelligence that some critics consider racist. As Murray tried to speak, students turned their backs to him and tried to shout him down. Later, as Murray and a professor left the school, students and other protesters tried to block their way. The professor was injured. Middlebury officials announced 64 students would be punished, but unlike at Claremont McKenna, none were stopped from attending classes for all or part of the next school year. Middlebury spokesman Sarah Ray said the school plans to offer more speakers with different opinions in the new school year.
Floyd Abrams is a media attorney. He recently spoke about how the political divide between Democrats and Republicans and conservatives and liberals has spread to colleges.
Too many people are unwilling to listen to ideas with which they disagree. And that is a problem which has only a long-term solution, but it is one I suggest to you that we should really start to address now.
At a hearing of the House Oversight Committee on July 27th, Frederick Lawrence of the Anti-Defamation League agreed that even hate speech is generally protected. But he said school officials also have a moral responsibility to speak out against hate speech. Lawrence provided numbers from Anti-Defamation League researchers. He said during the 2016-2017 school year, 110 American colleges reported racist or anti-Semitic actions. The actions included racist flyers, racist and anti-Jewish emails sent to students and teachers, and speeches by white supremacists. Lawrence said colleges should be ready to address the harm that can result from hateful speech, even if they cannot stop it under America's guarantee of free speech.
In 2015, the University of Missouri went through 2 months of protests over racism. The protests led to the resignation of top school officials. The University of Missouri protests also became known for an incident in which a communications instructor was heard asking for help in stopping a student reporter from filming protesting students. The instructor was later dismissed for trying to stop a reporter from covering a story at a public university. Christian Bassey is a spokesman for the University of Missouri. He said, enrollment for the upcoming fall semester is likely to be down for the second straight year. But he also said Missouri has just completed a strong fundraising effort and continues to receive large numbers of international students. Nathan Willett, Missouri's student body president, says very few current Missouri students are moving to other schools.
At the University of California, Berkeley, protests led to cancellations of two speeches by well-known conservative activists, Milo Yiannopoulos and Ann Coulter. The group, By Any Means Necessary, defended its efforts to stop the speeches. It said, hate speech is not free speech. Naweed Thamis is vice president of Berkeley College Republicans. He said it is not easy being conservative or Republican at Berkeley. He told VOA that he has received death threats, been chased and hit, and had his face put on flyers with his personal information.
Evergreen College in the western state of Washington recently had a board meeting to discuss what should happen following racial conflicts this spring. A professor said he was threatened after he refused to participate in a day in which white students and employees were asked to stay away from the college. Organizers said the day was meant to help people better understand racism. One professor said concerns about racism led to the protests and suggested protesters not be punished. But one white student said things have gone too far. She said when she attempted to speak at a student meeting, she was told only black students were permitted to speak.
While the University of Missouri has seen a decrease in enrollment following the 2015 protests, other schools where protests have taken place continue to be popular with students. The University of California, Berkeley, and Yale University have reported increased enrollment. Yale had protests in 2015 after two university officials said it would be okay for students to wear costumes, even if they offended some other students. I'm Bruce Alpert.
And I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.